Hey everybody, I'm Chloe Radcliffe. Welcome to showbizmonkeys.com. Around this town, I'm all right. Around this town, I'm all right. I mean, no consequence when you playing with the fire. Move to the left, man, no fuss, no fight. You're living on the low. Okay, so today we are talking... We're talking about hopefully a lot of things, but the reason we are talking is JFL Toronto. You're heading up to JFL Toronto. So welcome, Chloe Radcliffe, to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
So let's get right into that part of it right off the bat. You have a couple shows coming up next week in Toronto as part of JFL. Can you talk a little bit about Toronto, if you've played there before? What you expect from being a part of this festival.
Yes, I'm so excited to do JFL Toronto. I have spent New Year's Eve in Toronto 5 years ago, something like that. My old roommate, a very dear friend of mine, is from Toronto, and we lived together in Minnesota, and I moved to New York, and she moved back home to Toronto. And that first New Year's Eve, I had broken up with a guy in Minneapolis and I had broken up with a guy in New York. And so I didn't want to spend New Year's Eve in either of those cities. And I called Becca and I said, can I come up and hang out with you for New Year's Eve? And we had a great time and we had got Tim Hortons at 3:30 in the morning on New Year's Day. And I did a little bit of comedy there. So I've opened for Hari Kondabolu at the Comedy Bar before. So I know the room and it's so awesome. I'm really, really excited to be back. And I did one or two other like little bar shows, I think, that New Year's Eve trip. But I'm really excited to do full headlining sets. I think it's gonna be a blast. I remember that room being so warm and I hope everybody comes out.
Are you excited to, while you're there, see anyone else who's on the festival lineup this year?
Or... No, I'm dreading seeing everyone else. No, I think I'm sort of a shorty in and out. I get in Thursday and I leave super bright and early Saturday morning. So okay. It's going to be, very it's quick. Like, yeah, I'm kind of going to be bouncing around a little bit, but it's funny because I was just at, this summer I was at JFL in Montreal and, that festival I had auditioned for New Faces for so many years that I went into Montreal sort of thinking like, what if basically thinking it could be very easy for my expectations to have gotten ahead of what it would actually be like, you know, like I've been dreaming of this for so long. And then JFL Montreal was exactly what I dreamed about, and like it was such a blast. The festival was so amazing top to bottom, and so I'm very excited to get to like double dip right back in so quickly. Mm-hmm. But I'm a little bit like, oh dang, the most exciting parts of Montreal were the after parties, of course. And you know, I just was up until 4 and 5 every single night, and so now I'm like, oh, I think I have like a 7 a.m flight on Saturday morning. So either I don't stay up at all or I stay up through the entire night. So
right.
Come to my Friday night show and then see what I'm like that night.
Well, let's, you mentioned just before we started recording that, you're, in your mom's basement right now recording this. The reason I'm bringing that up is that must mean you're, in Minnesota.
I am at home in Minnesota, so I'm basically in Canada.
You're very, very close to where really, I am in Winnipeg really, really right close. Now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit about getting your start with stand-up in Minnesota and how that eventually did take you to New York, where you live now, and the touring that you do?
Yeah. I used to work, before I ever did stand-up, I was at a corporate job. I was at Target headquarters, which is in Minneapolis. And for 2 years I managed all soda inventory and execution. So every Coke, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper product, all subsidiary brands that went through any Target store in the country went through me when I was like 21 and 22, which is so dumb, and wrong, but hey, they, you know, stores didn't burn down in those 2 years. And then they Target laid off a bunch of people, and I was one of them. And I had always promised myself, I was always like, I won't be at Target for very long. I'll be here for a year and I'll save some money and then I'll move to Chicago and I'll do Second City. And then I was there for 3 years because it's very easy to get paid a lot of money to do something that you're pretty good at and just stay there. And so I, in retrospect, I feel very grateful to have been laid off. I remember calling my dad and telling him that I was laid off, and he was like, I think this is going to be the best day of your life. And I remember being like, well, I hope that this, or I think he said, this is the best thing that's ever going to, that will ever happen to you. And I remember going, I hope that this is not the best thing, but I,
The trigger for
yeah,
the best things, yeah.
the trigger for the best things. For sure. I would have stayed a lot longer, because why not? It's tough to say no to that. And yeah, so I started, I decided that I would do one stand-up open mic, one sketch class, and one improv class. Just to say that I had tried them all, thinking that I would not like stand-up. And within like 45 seconds of the stand-up open mic, I was like, oh, this is, I competed in speech and debate for 10 years, and this is grown-up speech, which I had looked for a very long time. Then I found it and I was like, oh, I got a lot of trophies saying I'm good at this. How about I keep doing this? And I've been really committed ever since. And I got named. I did a few comedy festivals out of Minneapolis. I did Winnipeg. I did Odd Block for the like couple years that that existed
Yeah.
in Winnipeg, and then a few around the states. And one of them in Atlanta got me scouted for the TBS Comic to Watch lineup at the New York Comedy Festival in 2017, 18, 17. And then the next year, yeah, I guess it would have been 17 because the next year I moved to New York.
Yeah, I feel like I remember seeing you. I am here in Winnipeg, and I remember seeing you at Odd Block.
Yes.
I was involved just helping with tech setup at one of the small venues that they had in that
Yeah.
festival. So I remember seeing you there, really enjoying your comedy, and then being really excited the following year when I saw the Winnipeg Comedy Festival was bringing you in. Just obviously
Yes.
a different beast than like a small indie, like Odd Block was such a cool festival with a bunch of indie performers, but Winnipeg Comedy Festival has TV galas, CBC. It's a lot more
Totally.
like what you would get from a JFL and that sort of thing.
Totally. Oh yeah, they Winnipeg put me up in whatever hotel, you know, I mean, it was everybody was in that hotel. And that was the first time that comedy had ever put me up in a nice hotel. And I remember feeling like it wasn't even like, oh, I've made it, or like, oh, this is what the career feels like. I had tricked them, and I felt like some mistake must have been made. And I don't say that to sound like adorably humble. I was like, I don't think there's like no way that they meant to put me in this like fancy, you know, ritzy, whatever downtown hotel for a full week. There's no, they like, I don't know if they just like got it sort of mistaken because I'm an American. And so they were like, yeah, sure, put her there. But I was like, all right, fuck it, I'll take it. And now looking back, like now I have more exposure to that level of festival. And I'm like, oh no, that's just normal. Like that's everybody stays in that hotel. But I really was like, don't tell anybody, because then they'll take it away from me.
And I think that festival, if I recall, based on the timeline you were just talking about, was right after you'd made the move to New York. You came back and did that fest, so
Maybe,
you might not have been quite
was it,
living in Minneapolis by
no, I
then.
think I was still living in Minneapolis at that point. Isn't Winnipeg in May? Or like April? Yes, I moved in June, so it was
Okay, so it was right
right
before
before I
then.
moved. Yeah, it was right before I moved. So I still got to like drive up from, oh no, I flew up. Oh my God, I totally forgot about this. On that, flew to Winnipeg, because when I went up to Odd Block, we drove up, and it's like a 7 hour drive or whatever. It's not that bad. Maybe eight. And but on when I went up for Winnipeg Comedy Festival, I flew up, and the night before at my home comedy club, which is the Comedy Corner Underground in Minneapolis, which just closed, and I'm very sad that that place closed. The night before, there had been some event that was not a comedy related event basically like some there was a bar upstairs, and then the club was downstairs, and technically they were two separate entities, but we would like go between the two all the time, of course. And someone else, some party, had rented out the bar and had gotten a big buffet and had not eaten some huge amount of food at the buffet. And so it was sort of like after the party was over, there was kind of this like free for all for the comics. And there was a shit ton of chicken wings. And I was like, fuck it, I'll take the chicken wings. And so I like stuffed a to-go box full of chicken wings, like heavy, you know, like where you hand it to somebody and they're like sort of surprised to receive it. It, you know, like could be used as a weapon kind of thing. And I took it home, not thinking like, oh, I'm about to leave. And then the next morning I was like, well, I guess I'm going to Winnipeg. I guess I might as well bring food. I'm still like this. I travel with food all the time because I'm the cheapest person I know. Not because I have any dietary restrictions. I don't care. I'll eat anything, including chicken wings that have been in a suitcase. I'm just so fucking cheap that I'm like, yeah, sure, I might as well bring my own so that I don't have to go to a restaurant or something. And so I brought this like pounds of chicken wings in a to-go box on the plane, and then you're filling out the customs form. This was when they would still hand you the customs form on the plane. And it says like you have to declare any meat. And I was like, well, I guess I'm not gonna risk entry into the country because I'm so committed to bringing these free chicken wings that I didn't even particularly want. I don't really eat wings. And I left what had to have been 3 or 4 pounds of chicken wings on the airplane. And I've for years imagined like that plane cleaner coming and finding that to-go box.
He's
Cause I
so
just was like,
confused.
I don't know what to do with this. I'm just gonna leave it on the floor. And I just left it all the way. Anyway, that's what happened. So somebody in Winnipeg found my chicken wing.
And I feel you probably would have just been fine. You just brought
I
some.
like brought steak to my boyfriend lives in London now, and I brought steak to England, and it's the same thing where they're like, you can't bring meat in. And so I sat right outside of customs and I ate the steak out of a Ziploc bag. Again, because I'm cheap. I like had steak the night before. I like went to some industry dinner, they paid for steak. And I was like, well, I'm not gonna let half a steak go to waste. Anyway,
Of
now
course,
you know me better than
I'm
you
getting
wanted
the
to.
sense that like Minnesota and Winnipeg, where I am, like very similar frugal tendencies.
Totally, 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 totally. I mean, I think the Midwest has the like has the kind of it's the same sense of shame that Canada has, where it's like we can't get too big for our britches. And I really like that. I rep the Midwest very, very, very hard, and I'm thrilled to live in New York, and I go to LA all the time, and I love both cities very much, but like I am very proud to have been to be Midwestern, to have the kind of like the sort of like pervasive embarrassment and the like make do sensibility that the Midwest and I think Canada has as well.
I'm going to do a wonderful segue into the fact that you live in New York, but you've go to LA a bunch because there's a show that you have done in both of those that you've toured around.
Yes.
Your one person show, Cheat. Can you talk a little bit
Yes.
about that show and where you see it going from here now that you've done it a bunch as like feature headlining show?
Yeah. So that show is it's called Cheat. It's about how I have a history of cheating in a lot of my relationships. Nice to meet everybody listening to this podcast. The show does not condone cheating. I think cheating is always bad. I think cheating always hurts somebody. I think in a healthy relationship, I think a healthy relationship does not feature cheating. And cheating happens all the fucking time, and nobody is willing to talk about being the one who did it. And this is not to dismiss the pain. Like not in no way is it to dismiss the pain of people who have been cheated on. And I actually am of the attitude of like, if we want something like this to stop, we should want people to talk about it. In the same way that like, if we want, you know, it's like other maladaptive coping mechanisms, which is I think what cheating is. Whether it's a substance addiction, whether it's a, you know, like behavioral outbursts, whatever it is, like the more we are willing to talk about it. The it's like sunlight disinfects, you know? And so for me, the show has been doing the solo show and even developing it over a period of months a couple years ago, has been very, very cathartic. And I have learned a ton about myself and thought that I like came into the show very cocky. I came in being like, I know why I do what I do, and I like know myself very well. And developing the show, I learned a ton about myself. And I came into the show being like, it is not about my parents. It's not about my parents. And then like, it's a lot about my parents. You know, as is, I think, everybody's stuff. And so I feel very lucky to be in the position that I am with the show. I'm still running it here and there, and my aim is to do a full off-Broadway run, and ultimately, you know, shoot it as a special, and we'll just see where that lives. No clear, well, I was going to say no clear next steps. A bunch of clear next steps currently, but they're all like small. They're all like ticky tacky, and hopefully, you know, there will be bigger steps in the near future.
The one thing that you have already put out that I was delighted when I saw the first episode or two on YouTube, because I follow you on YouTube,
Thank
is
you.
your own talk show.
Yeah.
I love the concept. It's called In Tandem. Can you tell people about what it is and some of the guests that you've had? Because you've had some amazing guests right off the hop with that. And I hope you
Thank
do
you.
more. I know it's been a while since I've seen one. I hope there will be more.
Yes. So I bike around New York. Biking is my primary form of transportation in the city. And I'm an incredibly aggressive rider on my own bike. Like I'm the biker that makes people hate bikers kind of thing. And because I bike all the time, I was like, you know what? And I started to do bike videos. I set up this little like selfie setup where I have a 360 camera mounted on the front of my bike, and I do front-facing jokes to my camera. And so out of that grew this concept of can I ride with other people? And so it turned into this web series, this tandem bike web series called In Tandem with Chloe Radcliffe, where I put a comedian on the back of a tandem bike. We're not riding my bike, we're riding very slowly, very tamely. Around Central Park or Prospect Park. I've done a couple episodes out in LA by the LA River. And I had Ralph Barbosa and James Acaster and Ramesh Ranganathan and Caitlin Palufo and just some really, really, really fun. I did 10 episodes, Ian Fidance, Roy Wood Jr., just like really, really had such a blast. Akilah Hughes in that first season. And I have spent the last 6 months being like, and next week I'm gonna start shooting In Tandem season two. And then there's just always some new project. But I'm really optimistic about getting back into that this fall, and just shooting a bunch of episodes and releasing them. I'm hoping to get some even more exciting names. Not that the
I
people who I
mean,
just
the
said are
ones you
not
mentioned already, lots of
not
exciting
bad,
names
huh?
there.
Yeah. So, I'm excited to get back into that.
Well, I certainly hope to see more just personally, as a
Thank you.
fan of it. It's because it really it disarms the person you're talking to, because they're in the middle of actively doing something,
Yes,
so they kind
yes.
of just have to answer honestly because they don't have the time to like think of the second or third
Totally.
version of their answer, because there's another bike coming on the left, or they have to stop
Totally.
for pedestrians, or there's just stuff
Totally.
going on.
Yeah, you're physically doing something else, so you're distracted. And also, we don't have to make eye contact. I had somebody, I think it was Ramesh, point out, I mean, like by 2, 3 minutes into the ride, and we ride for an hour, literally like the first thing we were talking about was we were immediately talking about creative insecurity. And he was like, Jesus Christ, this bike makes you go so deep so quickly. And I think that a huge part of it is that, like, when you're not making eye contact with somebody, it just feels so much easier to just sort of like to be honest and to be yourself. because it doesn't feel like you're it's it doesn't feel quite so confrontational. And so I really think that it like draws stuff out of people. It's funny. I'm having this thought in the moment. Years ago during the pandemic, I tried to start a little web series that I think I called Baking and Feelings. I don't know, whatever. I basically the idea was I wanted somebody to be doing something physical, and I was doing it around food, doing something physical, and also we would talk about emotions at the same time. But that and so like the first one was that we would make our own whipped cream. And I don't know if you've ever made your own whipped cream, but you just have to whip cream for it's right in the title for like 15 minutes. Like it takes you just keep going, and it's so exhausting. Excuse me, and that sort of like provides a little a distraction, and so that you can be more honest. That series never went anywhere. It lives on a hard drive somewhere. I never released it. But I realized that like years down the line, I'm actually doing a concept that you know the activity is different, but like the concept is roughly the same, where we're doing something else to be distracted and then talking about emotions usually.
Yeah, it works really, really well. Just I know we're getting near the end of our time, but I want to just talk about what after Toronto, which is the reason we were talking here, but that's coming up very soon. What do you have next after that? Are you doing some touring? I know you mentioned that you've done stuff in a London a bunch because your partner's over there, so you've done some shows over there. What's next for Claire?
I'm on the road a ton this fall and winter. So, the best place to find my tour dates is on my website, chloeradcliffe.com. And sign up for my newsletter. There's a little like pop-up if you go to my website or on all my socials. And all my tour dates, because it'll just link you straight to there's a website called punchup.live, and that has all my tour dates, that houses all my tour dates and all the ticket links and all that kind of stuff. And so send your friends, like if you like my stuff, and I'll be in, it's like I'm in Pittsburgh. If you know somebody in Pittsburgh, send them my show. Just have a bunch of dates here and there scattered around the country. And that I think is probably the big headline. I'm working on some projects behind the scenes. But all of the projects. Oh, I want to shoot my hour before the end of the year. Maybe I shoot it in December. Who knows? We're gonna find out. Basically all of my projects that are in TV film just like take so long that it's sort of like I don't know, I'm working on stuff. We'll see if anything ever happens. But feeling good about where everything's at.
Awesome. I hope you have an amazing time in Toronto next week, as short as it will be.
Thank
I
you.
hope anyone listening to this that's in the Toronto area goes and checks out your shows,
Yeah.
or at least one of them.
Both.
Both. Yeah,
You
go to
only
both.
may come to both.
And then yeah, I hope the fall goes well touring and that you can get that that hour recorded.
Hell yeah.
When
Hell
it
yeah.
works out best.
You and me both. Thank you so
Awesome.
much.
Thanks.
Thanks, Paul.